World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So lies, deception, and fear, oh my, that's what we're dealing with. So it's here, it is Friday morning, and we're getting ready. Michelle and I getting ready to head to Washington, D.C. for the Stay Awake America tour. I'll throw that up here in just a second. A lot on the table today, and just appreciate all of you being out there. We're going to take communion. Joe got up early this morning and we're going to do communion, and I want to apologize to Joe because I know he prepared it, and I kind of elbowed my way in, said, Joe, here's what we're going to do today, and then communion. So I appreciate it, Joe, and I don't mean to step on – I appreciate your gift, and I don't mean to step on what you're doing. So publicly, I just want to apologize to that. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help me go here. We got a lot going on. Let me throw two things up there real quickly before we jump into it. GoFundMe. Pull that up there. Lorianne, single mom, autistic daughter, they need a car. She had a wreck. She needs a car. Now, they say they need 1,900 is what it says there, but they really need probably 3,000. They probably didn't put it up there, okay? So rather than taking that money to Coach Dave and taking it up, I don't want to do that. Folks, please, you guys know Lorianne and what she's dealing with, right? Take this GoFundMe and let's help Lorianne here. Now, what I mean by that is donate to it and share it with others. Get them to get this girl some money. Can we do that? So Spencer, put that in the chat. She had a wreck. Yada yada yada. We don't need to go into it. They're facing a crisis. You guys know Laura Ann, right? So please share this and help Laura Ann get a car. She needs a car. Okay, Betty's. I mean, your name's already in there. Betty's already given money. God bless you, Betty. And so put that in the chat for me, and please. Go help Laura Ann out. I'm going to go to communion. Stay with me. I got to get this stuff done here before we do. Where am I? Two things. Don't forget the Monday gathering at Sky High. If you're close, please come. Okay, good. Go there. Please come, Sky. Jonathan, stay right there, Johnny. This is where I'm heading today. We're heading to the Stay Awake America tour in Washington, D.C. And it's unbelievable, really, isn't it? The timing of this event and rededication of America is kind of going on at the same time. So I'm speaking there tomorrow morning. Is it tomorrow morning? Saturday morning? I'm speaking Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And for those of you who are in driving distance, want to go, whatever, I think she's live streaming it. I'm not sure. I think so, but I don't know. But there it is, okay? That's where Michelle and I are going to be. Stay Awake America tour. And I could jump off and run on that. Yeah, Donica, see you there, dear. God bless you. It's worth it. Okay, so there that is. Put that in the chat. Let me see. One more thing. Our gathering here at Sky High. Michelle and I are going to hurry back for our gathering here. Spencer, if you can throw that thing up there. Jonathan, I'm sorry. Rededication at Sky High, May 18th. That would be Monday night, 6:30 p.m. Just come and join us. We'll have a little meal. We're going to rededicate Sky High. We know that the devil are trying going down Route 40. They're trying to reclaim all that territory, yada, yada, yada. Monday, May 18th at 6:30 p.m., we're going to break a little bit of bread. We're going to do a little bit of prayer, and boom, we're out of it. We're not going to be long, but if you're close and you can make it, we would love to have you be part of it. Anything else here for the good of the group? Stay Awake America Tour. We're going to talk. Number three, Craig's not here today. God's Children, I'm going to try to introduce that today. The Watchman on the Wall. Click on that one, Johnny, if you can. Saving God, you're the Watchman on the Wall. We know what's going on with Craig. I wish I could. Does it feel like I'm talking fast? Because I feel like I am. Here's what I am. Here's my frustration. I just told my wife before I came down. Boy, I love my wife. Told you we had a little spat yesterday. That's your lover. Here's a problem in America. It ain't about time. There used to be an old guy on WTV and radio. Can't remember his name. He used to say, ain't about time somebody done something. And that's my frustration. I could go to a conference every week. Ain't about time somebody done something. At what point do we stop talking? Church, at what point do we stop talking and stop doing? Ask a very, very simple question. And if everyone listening to me out there, no, I'm not against the church. No, I'm not against the church. Wherever you go to church, can you tell me the last prophetic ministry you did? Now, hang on, Sick. What are you talking about? Well, there's mercy ministry. Mercy ministry. Let me define mercy ministry for you, pastors, whatever, anybody. Mercy ministry. Mercy ministry is helps, where you see people in your community who need food, they need clothes, they need medical care, yada, yada. Those are helps. The church ought to automatically be doing that. When you see your neighbor in need, for heaven's sakes, that's the gospel. Huh? That's the gospel, that you help your neighbor in need. That is mercy ministry. Now look, everybody loves mercy ministry. There's nothing better than to pull up into somebody's house and deliver them a meal when they're sick and they can't. Oh, they're so happy and joyous. And you love the mercy ministry because you know why? It makes you feel good. Betty, give me a boom. You go do the mercy ministry because you feel good. Yeah. Who's buzzing me here? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Makes you feel good. The prophetic ministry don't make you feel good because it makes you a target. You say, Coach, what are you talking about, prophetic ministry? Well, the prophetic ministry would be going to the abortion clinic, standing out on the street and street preaching, going to your school board meeting, going to your city council meeting, going to whatever, to go and advance the kingdom of God. We're in a war. We're in a war. And America has collapsed because the church loves mercy ministry and hates prophetic ministry. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody give me a thumbs up.
Boom.
And I don't care who you are, and I don't care where you go to church, unless maybe you go down there with Dale and a couple other people I can mean. The church is totally, completely mercy. Totally mercy ministry. David Arthur is doing prophetic ministry. He's going to walk into church and tell them that they are stealing our children through homosexual grooming, and they're in one church and 1,000 will have him in. Oh, but they all got bread. They all got food ministries. They all got clothing ministries. They all got... Are you tracking here with me? Now, look, at Coach Dave Live, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. We're prophetic. We're mercy. We'll help somebody get a car. We're both, folks. The church is supposed to be both. Hang on. The mercy ministry is the nurturing, soft mother side of the church. How many of you lived in a home when you walked in and your mommy said to you, I'm going to tell your father? That was the difference between mom and dad. Mercy, prophetic. With me? You with me? And if you are a prophetic ministry, there ain't many coming to your church. Why? Because the prophetic ministry will demand you do something. If I said tomorrow, hey, look, I got a truckload of bread, which I used to get all the time from Art the Bread Man. I got a truckload of bread. How many of you will help me? We'll go downtown and we'll stand out and we'll hand out free bread. You know, there'll be 100 people coming on to help. I said, hey, listen, we got to go to the school board meeting. They're teaching transgenderism. Meet me at the school Monday night. 2 people will come. Hey, Paul, say amen. Somebody out there say amen.
Amen. Amen, Coach. Amen.
Huh? That's the problem we're dealing with. You know why? Because mercy, I'm going to say it again, mercy ministry makes me feel good. Oh, I did such an, I was the hands of Jesus today. We're the hands of Jesus too when you go to the library and tell them to get them freaking books out of there. That's the hands of Jesus too. Hey, I don't know if you've picked up on this. The Lord's dumping this on you, folks. The Lord's dumping you. And you're in one church in 1,000 that does prophetic ministry. Dale does. Dale does. Dale does both. He hands out bread and he goes to the abortion clinic. Why can't we do both? And you know what I find out? Church, for the most part. Paul, do I have to say it? Yeah, okay. Church, for the most part, will turn men into sissies. Anybody give me a thumbs up? Church, for the most part, turns men into sissies. Why? Because they're sissy men leading it. Mm. Woo, baby. We're tromping on it today, aren't we? Jesus told us, I haven't forgotten you, Joe. Thanks for sitting there for a minute, okay? I got to get this off my chest. Jesus told us to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded. Jesus said, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. I've never been a woman or never had any sexual attraction to a man. But I want to know this. Can somebody tell me something sexy about Joel Osteen? Rick Warren. Women, when you watch Rick Warren, you say, oh, what a stud. You want me to rattle some more big pastors? I want me to rattle, say, oh boy, what a sexy man. No. They're sissies. They're freaking sissies who draw sissy women. Silly women laden with lust. Those are the ones that go to sissy men churches. And how many of you out there know there are some people who don't come here anymore because I'm too harsh? Yeah. Can I tell you the truth? I hope you freaking leave, you big sissy. We need some manly Christianity. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, not the daughters, not the daughters. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life. What does that involve? What does that look like, laying down your life? Well, I'll tell you this, what it means. They're going to freaking hate you. You'll be hated of all men. Because why? Because love brings correction, direction, and discipline. Hey, dude, you keep doing that, and here's what's going to happen. Oh my, who are you to judge? Don't be so judgmental. What the hell's wrong with us? I'm feeling better. I'm getting it off of me. Hey, folks. Hey, Joe, Hank, you can hang in there, can't you, Joe? You're already up. Just stay with me, man. Huh? Stay with me. I'm going to show you something here, okay? Pull up number 7. Pull up number 7. 1,300 mega churches in the United States. That is Christianity, folks. I mean, it isn't. Can you look at this? 1,300 churches over 2,000 people. I know Betty, so I love Betty, and she's not going to get mad. Hey, Betty, I know your church isn't 1,300. How many would you say go there, Betty? I'm not busting out your church. How many go there, maybe?
Well, the church I go to, they'd have almost 1,300.
1,300? Hey, Betty, what the hell do they do?
Not much. Do backpacks.
Backpacks for kids going to school?
Yep. Oh. And that's about it.
Does a pastor ever call you to go to the school board meeting or go to the city council meeting and the board, anything like that? No. See, it's mercy ministry. Why, folks? Because we've been programmed with that. And what the church does, I'm sorry, I just got to tell you the truth. It turns men into women. And it happened to me. If you want to be manly in church, they'll applaud when you leave. Anybody want to give me a thumbs up? I can tell you, pastor, I ought to bring him on here. I was sitting in a room with a pastor one day getting spanked because, you know what he told me? He said, hey, coach, you need to be in a men's group, not follow one, or not lead one. If I'd had a knife, I'd have slit his throat. Because you know what men's groups are? Compliant supporters of the pastor. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Men's group are compliant supporters of the sissy pastor. That's all they are. That's all they are. Well, I'm hitting it today. I hope they're listening. I hope they're listening. Because the whole creation's groaning, waiting for God's men to freaking show up. We can't show up like women. And Betty, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but where in the hell in American idealism did we get the idea to put women in the army? Where can you find that in the scripture anywhere? No offense, Betty. God bless you. Appreciate your service. Wars are for men. You don't send your women to war. That doesn't mean they can't do it. Should they do it? When's the last time I'm on the phone, I'm talking to somebody on the phone and they're giving me a hard time. I said, wait a minute. I'm going to have my wife call you. Amen. So see, there's been a whole redoing of masculine roles in the church. And pastors build churches to cater to women. You get the woman, you got the family. Oh, I'm telling you. And hey, you want me to rattle off the women who aren't in here anymore because they don't like the yelling? How many men out there, give me a thumbs up. How many men out there like the yelling? Now, hang on. I'm glad women are here, but I'm on a manhunt. You understand? Nothing against women. I love them. I married one. I got 11 granddaughters, 10. I got a bunch. I love women. But women have a role and men have a role, and that role has disappeared in the American church. Thank you, Lord. Well, stay right there a second, Spencer. Joe, I haven't forgot you. Thanks, man. Thanks for getting it. I got to get this off my chest, all right, sure. Hey, Joe. Spencer, I'm sorry. The largest churches in America. You can click on, it's not Spencer, it's Jonathan. Jonathan, click on the largest churches in America. List of mega churches. That'd be good, right there. List of mega churches. List of the mega churches. Scroll down. I haven't even heard some of these. Look at this, folks. Abundant Church in El Paso, 12,000 people go to church there. How many of them know each other? Ashley Creek, 8,000. Bayside Community Church, 12,000. Bradenton, Florida. Calvary Chapel in Fort Lauderdale, 16,000. Well, that church is booming. Calvary, look at these Calvary Chapels. What do they call those? Amway dealers? These are Amway. These are nothing more than Amways. That's all they are. Devil's running rampant in every one of the cities, and they got Calvary chapels everywhere. Probably talking about the end times. Probably. Yeah, about the rapture coming. That's probably what they focus on every day, as their children are being led to hell. Not even their children. Somebody's children being led to hell by what's being taught in the school, and they won't even get involved. They're not their brother's keeper. They are not their neighbor's keeper, folks. They're not. Is this unbelievable? Cross Church in Springfield, Oklahoma City, 10,000, 20,000 in Dream City Church. Come on, Dream City. Hey, I want to run Nightmare Church. That's what I want to run. I want to run Nightmare Church. Ebenezer AME Church. Well, they got 10 grand. Well, hell, they know what. How old? Enon Tabernacle Baptist. It's got 15,000. And ask yourself this. Is the church running America or is it the devil? Wait a minute. The Greater Allen A.M.E. Cathedral of New York, the pastor Floyd Flake, what a name, has 20,000 people. Probably all voting Democrat because it's an African Methodist Episcopal church, whatever the hell that is. Huh? This is amazing. Is this staggering? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, with Daniel Floyd, the king. Say, Coach, he's not a king, he's a pastor. No, he's king. He's CEO. Daniel Floyd has 25,800 in a non-denominational charismatic church. What does that mean? They go to church there, they dance around, they wave flags, and they don't impact anybody or anything. I'm just telling you the truth. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power of Christianity, the power of the church, the power of the collective. King's Cathedral and Chapels in Hawaii, well, they got 30,000. That's as good Assemblies of God. Lake Point Church in Rockwell, Texas, with Josh Howerton. He's got 20,000. Hey, Joel Osteen, it's got 45,000. How many does the ACLU have? And they're running everything. Hang on. Any more good ones down there? Oh, I love this one. New Hope. New Hope Christian Fellowship. It's a four square church. It's got 14,500. Hey, I may think, how about if I start this one? How about if I, let's change Past the Salt Ministries into Kick the Devil's Ass Church. How many members would I get in my Kick the Devil's Ass Church, you suppose? The Potter's House. Prestonwood Baptist Church. 17,000. 16,000. The Relentless Church. I want to go to the Relentless Church. It's an international Pentecostal holiness church. John Gray runs that. They got 14,000 people that are members. Oh, wait a minute. No. I'm going to go to Sagamont Church in Houston. It's got 17,000. Isn't Joel Osteen in Houston? I wonder if Sagamont Church and Joel Osteen, I wonder if they partner to take over the government in Houston. Do you think they do? You think those guys are working together? I'll bet you $10. Wait a minute. Ben Young? What? He's in Houston? Second Baptist Church of you, he's got 23,000 on six campuses. Are you kidding me? Boy, Houston must be one for the Lord. Woo-wee. Am I making my point, friends? I'm making my point. And people will tell you, stay away from me because I'm a cult. Oh, wait a minute. Whoa. World Harvest Church, Columbus, Ohio. Rod Parsley. Pentecostal, 13,000 members. I got saved at World Harvest Church under Pastor Rod Parsley. 13,000 members, and I didn't know none of them. It was a place to meet, greet, and retreat. Come and let the pastor preach to us. Pastor preaches. I go home. That's what Christians do. I go to church, pastor preaches, I go home. That's what Christians do. Whoa. Pastor preaches, I pay my tithe, then I go home. Anybody out there booming me? Anybody booming me? The American church is worthless.
Boom.
It's worthless. The American church is worthless. Not home churches, dude. Not home churches. No. That was the model. House to house. Convert your neighbors. Make it a church. Not go to meet with my. Oh, how about this one? Go to meet my church. Oh, you got to come. You ready? Are you ready? Oh, we have such wonderful worship. Give me a thumbs up, David Arthur. Somebody give me a thumbs up. This is what we're dealing with. Oh, their worship music.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that worship leader. I feel so good. Yeah. And they're teaching your neighbor's kid to cut off his dick. You feel good.
Boom.
I know it's a boom. Because see, it's a pattern. The devil has invaded the church. He's taken over the church. Folks, the Bible tells us this. I'm about there, Joe. Hang on. Work while the sun shines. Hey, David Arthur, is the sun shining up there in Maine? Wherever the hell you are?
Maine is so dark.
Is the sun shining now? Is the sun shining?
Oh, of course.
Well, then work.
Absolutely. Amen.
You know why, David?
That's what we got to do. You know what, Coach? The church has everybody dumbed down. Right. So they've completely removed deliverance, which is a part of the discipleship process, which just creates so much failure amongst us when we go out into the world. We don't know anything about deliverance. And then we look at the fact that the church has everybody praying for revival. Right. Like it's some future event instead of like a present. It's a present reality.
Living in revival.
It has to be released, right? And so, man, I have to just state this.
So shut up. Right? I'm on it, right? Am I on it?
You're on it. The fire of heaven is not distant.
We know right now that there's a flood in America of homosexuality, transgenderism. How many churches want to hear that, David?
None.
None of them want to hear it. None of them want to hear it.
Even the ones that want to hear it don't want to hear it.
David, you're missing it. It's just a sign of the end. It's just men are going to wax worse and worse. It's just the signs of the end. Except, daggone it, it says work. I'm supposed to work while the sun shines. Yeah. Doggone. I just want to go to church and then retreat. I don't want to work. Because, by the way, Coach, you understand, you don't get to heaven by works. Really? You're judged by them. Revelation 21. And how many of you would out there and go get a football team together and put a guy on the field that you didn't expect to work? And put some guy out there and tell him not to block? Put a defensive tackle out there and tell him not to tackle? How the hell could you be on a team and not have some works? What is wrong with us? Okay, so stop, Coach. You're being so negative. Look, I love those of you who've been awakened and are engaged. And I want to promise you this. Your ministry ain't going to grow real big. It ain't going to grow real big. Because it's not for everybody. It just isn't. Hey, Dave. They don't care if your neighbor's kids getting his wiener cut off. David, they really don't care. They'll pray for them. Yeah. Did you guys see today? That they're trying to stop the abortion pill in some state. Trying to stop the abortion. In other words, they're trying to stop the idea that you can take a pill and kill your baby. And the courts put a stay on it. Now, would everybody agree with me that every church in that state, I can't remember where it is, ought to rise up right now and scream and holler and march and pout? And every church, shouldn't they do that? No, they can't do that. You know why? Because they want the women to be able to screw and get pregnant and then kill the baby. They call it women's rights. Women run the church. Let me take a deep breath. Joe. Get ready, Joe. I'm coming your way. Get ready, Joe. I'm coming your way. That's my analysis of what's going on. I'm going to tell you this, folks. Christianity ain't for cowards. It ain't for cowards. In fact, is it Revelation 21:8, the great white throne judgment? Johnny, can you find that? Revelation 21:8, I think it is. Revelation 21:8. You want to talk about end times? You want to talk about the rapture? You want to talk about Jesus coming? Revelation 21:8, Johnny. See if you can pull that up. I think it is. But he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall. Ho, 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 ho. Overcome what? Overcome what? But the fearful and the unbelieving. Anybody know any of them out there? Anybody know any of the fearful? By the way, this is the same Bible that tells me the rapture is coming. It's the same Bible. And you guys are fearful and unbelieving, and you're going to be raptured out. That's what? But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers. By the way, he put the fearful in front of the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. He put the fearful and unbelieving first. Because he said, do you mean you're carrying my name and you're afraid? Where are they going to be? I ain't making it up. They're going to have their place. It says their place. They shall have their part, in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone. By the way, that'd be the second death. You are least like Christ when you're afraid. Fear hath torment. Fear is not of the Lord. Overcome fear. How? With faith. Saying this, I'm going to do this no matter the consequences. No matter what they say, no matter what they do. And Lord, if they come and shoot me with a gun, I'm going to do it. I will not be controlled by fear. I'm not going to be controlled by fear. I'm not. Fear is not of the Lord. Righteous anger is. Faith is of the Lord. Fear, no. I'm going to tell you this. Most of the pastors are fearful and unbelieving. You know how easy it is for me to preach a gospel? I could fill a church with a prosperity message gospel. You could fill a church. You know I could, right? I can tell a story about a dog and make a cat cry. I can do that. I'm a motivator. I can do that. But if I start saying, hey, listen, we got to go down the street and hold some abortion signs, ain't nobody coming. Can I tell you why? Because they be faithful, fearful, and unbelieving. They're fearful and unbelieving. They don't think it's their job to go rescue unborn children. They don't think it's their job. They don't think it's their job to prevent. Are you your brother's keeper? They don't think it's their job to protect their neighbor's child from transgenderism. They don't think that's their job. We're waiting for the rapture. I'm one of God's children. What about, but what about those who aren't God's children? Oh, well. Go ye into all the world. Teach them to observe all that commanded you. I'm with you. Go, even to the end of the age. No, I have to go to church on Wednesday night and they'll wave flags and they'll have the best music and I'll put my hands in the air and I'll dance around and then I'll drive by all these people in my neighborhood who are lost. But I'm okay. Rapture's coming. I'll be out of here. I wish I was making all that up. I've kind of hogged the show here for 33 minutes. Yeah, Paul said saving faith. What is saving faith? What does it mean to trust? Hang on. What does it mean to trust and obey? Lord, I don't know if I have the confidence to do it, but I'm going to go to that school board meeting tonight and I'm going to raise heaven about the transgenderism in our school. I'm going to trust that my words are going to make a difference and I'm going to go do it regardless of the consequences. Because at the end of the day, I want you to know for the best of my ability, I don't do what I do for the applause of men. Men will betray you. I do it for the applause of two nail-scarred hands. Amen. We're supposed to read Psalm 75 today. I'm gonna read that. Then Joe's gonna lead us in communion. And again, Joe, I appreciate you, brother, for giving. I appreciate your time, your effort, I do. I do. You know that. And I don't want you to think, well, golly, I know Joe would never say this. Well, I prepared all that, and then he hogged all the show. Okay, so. Raise your hand if you've been blessed by what you heard here today. Okay, that's all I need. That's all I need. So, Joe, I'm going to read this, and then we'll go right straight into communion. Okay, this will be our scripture for today. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks, and unto thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near thy wondrous works declare. For I shall receive the congregation. When I shall receive the congregation, I'm going to judge them uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. I said unto the fools, wait a minute. Is he calling names here? Is David calling people names? Is he judging people? I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And I said to the wicked, don't blow your horn. Lift up your horn on high, talking to us. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. God is the judge. He putteth one, he putteth down one, and he setteth up another. You better understand this again. Donald Trump's God's man. We don't know whether it's good or bad. We don't know whether it's good or bad, but he's the judge. God's the judge, and he picked our leaders. For in the hand of the Lord, there's a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same. But the dregs, you know what the dregs are, right? The leftovers are the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Wait a minute. He's so judgmental. He's calling those people wicked. What is going on with David? David, love everybody. I'm okay. You're okay. David, David, who are you to judge the wicked? Not only is David going to judge him, they're going to wring out that dross and they're going to drink it. Turn on the TV. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off. See, I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to lead them to Christ. I'm going to try. I'm going to cut them off. But the horns of the righteous. Horns. Shall be exalted. Is that it, Johnny? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And this Church of America today say it's God's will for people to be exalting the wicked. It's unfreaking believable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that the church won't even call some people and some things wicked. And the church won't even say to some people, you continue to do that, dude, and you are going to leave the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is within you, and God ain't going to dwell with that wickedness in you, brother. And you better get rid of that stuff. And when you get rid of that stuff, you become an ambassador for Christ, and you go tell others to get rid of it. You don't tell them how much God loves them. We'd be a lot better off telling them how much God's pissed off at them. Because the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. We don't fear the Lord in America. Our pastors don't fear the Lord, nor do they teach it. Again, broad brush. Some do. I think I've delivered the mail today. I think I have. Joe, come on in, brother. Thanks, Joe, for giving me that leeway.
Thank you, Coach. Before we start, we got to have a prayer. And communion today will also be from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. But we're not having the reading. We'll do that next week.
Amen. Pardon me, Joe. I've got to slip over and get me a communion. I'm listening.
And so, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in communion. You told us to remember what you have done, and we're going to do that now, Lord. We know this is a holy moment, so we ask that you forgive our sins and our transgressions. We ask that you bless this bread and drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for us. We remember that this can be the meal that heals not only our soul, but our bodies. I also know that everyone here has something weighing on their heart. And I ask that those needs and wants, that we ask the Lord for what we need, for the resolution, for the solution, for the manifesting. And Lord, the organization I work for, we're funded, and our accounting firm is late with its financial review. If we don't have it in time this morning, we're probably going to lose a funding source for the third time. And I have a feeling there's something satanic in this, blocking it, because we have Christians working for us, and a lot of my clients ask me to pray for them. It's not very normal in a lawyer's office. So, Lord, I raise our needs to up. Let everything come through in time so we retain that funding so we can continue helping these communities where so much is broken. And I know all across wherever everybody is on this call, you live in a place that is broken, especially from where it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, or from when we grew up as kids. It's broken. And it's been getting more and more broken every day. But President Trump has, Lord, he's turned the tide of this, but he's only one man. He has you on their side. He is anointed. We see this. But help us to reverse the tide of this brokenness. Help us to say what we mean, not just we're thanking. We can't change the world by thanking it. We need to do something. We need to say something. We need to influence. We need to act. So help us in this communion to reflect in our hearts how we can do that little bit more. And let that little bit every day become drops in a creek, in a river that all of a sudden builds a huge inland sea. That's how it all starts. Help us not to forget that, because we are your ambassadors, Lord. And we are grateful. And we thank you. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new statement, New Testament, in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. This is really important. I say this. It's totally different, but just Holy Spirit, just I hear my sheep hear my voice. I heard his voice. Okay. So I'm going to say something.
Jim.
I'm coming off of a fast. I broke my fast yesterday. And I've never felt physically better in a year. Gout pain, whatever it would be. And folks, the Bible says this kind come out only with prayer and fasting. And so I'm just saying this publicly to thank the Lord for his faithfulness. I slept last night. I can't hardly sleep at night sometimes because gout pain in my hips. I was rolling all over the bed last night. Nothing hurt. And I got up this morning. It's because, look, Dr. Paul, I read on it, folks, in a 3-day fast, your entire immune system resets. Did you know that? Did you guys know that? 3 days, your entire immune system resets. And I just want to testify to the Lord, thank God for his faithfulness, that I'm going to be able to go to D.C. and walk around. Isn't that going to be something? Look, whether it's aches and pains, whether it be problems with your family, whatever it would be, have you considered fasting? You can pray till your tongue falls out. Some of the attachments to you are spiritual. That's my testimony. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. Okay, here we are. We've been in here for, I can't do any math, 47 minutes. Floor is open. Door is open. Come on in. Boy, I got to take some time to read all this chat over. It's good, man. It's good. Dave Allison, come on in, Dave. Hey, Dave, I appreciate you and Sherry more than you'll ever know. Just want you to know that.
Well, same back at you, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
And also many others in this fellowship as well.
Yep.
Coach, as you're speaking this morning, you know, the Lord gave me just a picture as we're talking. And again, I know you're just trying to wake up America, you know, really. And I got this vision, and I see the people going into the church, and it's like they're going into an airplane, taking their seats, and they're asking the captain of the plane to get them to heaven. They're really not asking them to equip the saints. They don't look at it like a boot camp where they're going to be equipped so they can get in the battle and fight.
Amen,
the brother.
Amen. It's a hospital. Right.
So the pastors found out it's a lot more productive, or it's a lot easier just to give them a word and give them a cup of latte, make them feel good, pat them on the butt and send them home, and they'll be back next week.
Amen.
The whole concept is so broken.
It is.
And to your point, the reason why the abortion pill is not being stood up against is because the pastors are not equipping the saints.
Amen.
And that's what you've been preaching along here. And so, Coach, never stop preaching the truth.
Yeah. Dave, do you think the church has the power to end abortion in the government?
They could have any evil. They could,
of course.
All the evil being perpetrated.
All things are possible. Oh, with God, all things are possible. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
So, no, it's okay, Coach. But, hey, and so if you want a testimony. But because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us and seeing opportunity to go out into and preach the gospel to the world. So Sherry and I busted into this cabinet shop. These guys built us some kitchen cabinets here last fall. And we said to ourselves, let's surprise these guys. We went to the pizza store. We bought a bunch of pizzas, and we busted in that place and says, you know what? We're having lunch on us today. And they're like, huh? What are you talking about? But all of a sudden, they realized we were sincere. So, Coach, picture this. Now we got the pizzas, and they have a little cafeteria room. They got this big table. All the men from the cabinet shop come in there, and I stood up, and I prayed over all of them. And asked the Lord to bless them. So here's the cool thing. So these guys were like shocked, like, what's going on here? This is crazy. But they pretty soon they were comfortable. But here's the cool thing, Coach. So when they got all done breaking bread and they all went back out in the shop, the owner sat next to us, Bill, and he says, wow, this is interesting. Do you know the young man sitting at the end of the table? Just last week, he gave his life to the Lord.
Mm.
You know?
And he was reading what? He's been studying the...
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, well, he's been, and the young man's been reading the Geneva Bible. Geneva. Yeah. And so anyway, so Coach, but to God be the glory, amen. But it's through the Holy Spirit has inspired us through Pass the Salt Ministry to be active and take the gospel out in the streets. Thanks for letting me share.
Hey, Coach, amen. One more thing. Don't mean to take a lot of time, but this Bill, the owner, when he was here in our home, he sees Dave's hat with the cross on it.
Oh, yeah, he took a cross. I gave him a cross hat. He's got his cross hat. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I got to send you another one.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, we'll get one.
So it's been really cool. It's been really awesome to, the opportunities are everywhere, Coach. Even in your own home, here these guys come in to build our cabinets, take measurements, and get into conversation. And that young man that received the Lord just a month or so ago, he was here working in the house.
Yeah,
right?
That same guy was here working in the house. You know, so anyways, there's all kinds of opportunities.
So the anointing fell on him, Coach. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Adam says Christianity is a full contact sport, baby. It sure is. It ain't for women. I'm sorry. Thank God for women. But Christianity, manly. Oh, for some manly Christianity. David Arthur, come on in, Dave.
You know, if we would just stop begging God to do all of the things that he has already given us the power and authority to do. He's already given us, he has placed the power and authority to do these things within us, and we keep asking him to do it for us.
Amen. David, David, I hate soccer. Can I tell you why? I'm a sports nut. I couldn't name one position on the soccer field. I assume there's different goalie. I can name goalie. I mean, that's pretty easy. But there are 10 other positions. I don't know one of them. So when I go watch a soccer game, I hate it. But I can tell you all 11 positions on the football team. Wait a minute. 11 positions on offense. 11 positions on defense. 11 positions on the kickoff team. 11 positions on the kickoff return team, 11 positions on the punt team, 11 positions on the punt return team. I understand the game, right? And because I understand the game, I enjoy the game.
Amen.
So if you don't know anything about Christianity,
understanding.
You don't understand it, you ain't going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to lead somebody to Christ to get them to come to church and praise the Lord and raise their hands and dance around, they ain't coming, friends. They ain't coming. Because you don't understand the gospel. You want to get them to church so their pastor can get you saved. Oh, we've been so programmed. See, hey, folks, Satan comes as an angel of light. It looks good. It feels good. It smells good. It tastes good. And it's poison. Comfort is poison. Poison. Shelt said something to me the other day that shocked me. It didn't shock me. It shocked me back. Because I haven't been able to exercise because I've been dealing with gout for a long time. You know what she said to me? Will you quit acting old? Bam. Yeah, we need you around. Will you quit acting old?
Boom.
Man, hit me right in the face. So I'm going to do some walking today and tomorrow in D.C. Come on, James. Hurry up, man. We got five minutes. Quit acting old!
I will say this, Dave. You need to speak to that gal. It be a name it and claim it. Speak to it. Say, gout, get out in Jesus'
name. Get out of here, gout. Get out of here.
In Jesus' name. I am redeemed. I am sozo by the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah, but Jay, James, the whole world's telling you how sick you are. You need this and you need that. And you need this and you need that. Right?
Hey, brother, the devil every morning tells me you're going to die. Every day he tells me he's going to die. And I tell him, hey, I'm already dead. You know what? Hey, brother, you have a good weekend. And I know you're from the dog pounds. That's why you got the dog on your phone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. That's what I got.
Pray for John Elway. I know he kind of ruined your years after 2-3 years there for a while. But he's a. But anyway, love you, brother. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, James. Thanks, James. So, just real quickly, I got to run here. Got to get in the car, run to D.C. Friends, just pray that I can light a spark today, tomorrow, whenever it is, at the Stay Awake American. Stay awake. I mean, just think. I'm not being critical. Words mean things. Stay awake. How many of you ever had trouble staying awake if you were doing something invigorating? I don't know about you. Sometimes I fall asleep in church. I ain't never fallen asleep mowing the yard. Never fallen asleep raking leaves. I ain't never fallen asleep standing out on the street holding an abortion sign. I ain't never fell asleep. No, I never fell asleep on that, right? So Stay Awake America Tour. Hey, how about, here's what I would name it. Stay Awake Church National. No, how about Wake Up Church? Wake Up Church. So I want you to pray that when I'm done tomorrow, half of them are going to be inspired and half of them are going to be pissed. Because anger sometimes is the world's greatest motivator. And I ain't going there to wake people up. I'm looking for soldiers. I want to train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. Going and sitting at a conference is not action. In football, we called them chalk talks. And what the chalk talk was, I drew the play on the wall, and then we went out and practiced it. And then, after we practiced it and practiced it and practiced it, we ran it in the game. Is the church preparing you for the works of the ministry? Question number one, what are those works of the ministry? And number two, are you being trained to do them? Or are you a willing bench sitter, pew sitter, taking it all in and never taking it back? Blessings, man. Have a great weekend. We're going to have a great weekend. Pray that God will use me in a powerful way. In Jesus' name. See you on Monday.